The following recording is copyright 2014, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
The greatest unresolved tension that the framers of our Constitution tried to finesse was how to reconcile the truth that all men are created equal, proclaimed in our Declaration of Independence, with the highly unequal racial reality on the ground, which is why in our Constitution they counted slaves as 3/5 of a person for purposes of representation, and Native Americans did not count as persons at all. And even among whites, Catholics and Jews were marginalized and subject to all sorts of discrimination. The highest ideals of our founding fathers were undermined by our nation's original sins of racism and exploitation, entrenched already from the beginning of the colonial period, and of which these same high-minded founding fathers were as guilty as anyone. And these injustices have left deep wounds in our nation's soul that even today, 150 years after the end of slavery and 90 years after granting United States citizenship to those whose lands our forebearers stole, are still far from being healed. You may be surprised to know that though the Indians of Oklahoma were already United States citizens, everywhere else, the other 49 states, or I guess there weren't 49 at the time, but all the other states, including Arkansas, the first Americans were the last Americans to gain United States citizenship. Not until 1924 for federal purposes. And in many states, not until 1938 to participate in state elections and local elections. The idea was that they belonged to another nation, a conquered nation, each of their tribal nations. And in 1924, we gave dual citizenship. So they had citizenship in the United States as well as their tribe going forward. Despite our Declaration of Independence, equal treatment under the law was a long time in coming. And the lasting consequences of 400 years of exploitation and racism and nativism continue to raise their ugly head even today. Well, the early church faced a similar challenge. On what basis should they admit Gentiles into a church that started out entirely Jewish? Some Jewish Christians could not conceive of full equality with Gentile followers of Jesus. The reason they insisted on the circumcision of these converts was because they viewed Christianity as, in essence, a movement still within Judaism. The fulfillment of Judaism, to be sure, but within Judaism nonetheless. And therefore, according to them, Gentiles had to convert to Judaism in order to share fully in the victory of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and the Jewish Messianic era that he inaugurated. Luke, the only non-Jewish writer in the entire Bible, is our chief witness to the alternate view, which eventually prevailed, that the kingdom of God, which Jesus proclaimed, was a more inclusive concept than what was usually meant by the phrase the Messianic era. And in fact, that is why Jesus doesn't speak about the Messianic era. He speaks about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a concept that includes all nations. And therefore, the Gentiles could become Christians just as they are, without having also to become Jewish. On today's Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord, Luke tells us about the visit of the pagan Magi, who worshiped Jesus without first becoming Jews. Elsewhere, he preserves the memories of Jesus' own witness to universal brotherhood through his encounters with pagans who professed their faith in him. And then the Acts of the Apostles, there he gives us our earliest and fullest account of the mission to the Gentiles and their full inclusion as equal members of the church. But then the 2,000 years of church history that followed, unfortunately, is stained by many instances where we failed to live up to this ideal of equal inclusion of all, not only in the kingdom of God writ large, but also in the contemporary church, in our parishes, and in our world. As we gather to celebrate Epiphany, the revelation of Jesus as the universal Savior, let us consider what we need to do to bring the good news we celebrate today to those within our community who, for whatever reason, do not yet feel fully included. For instance, newcomers to hope, or divorcees that feel a lot of times feel rejected and feel really needy. And those, of course, of a different language or ethnicity. Also, our Holy Father reminds us not to forget about homosexuals and other people whose God-given dignity we must not forget, even as we proclaim truths with love and compassion that they are going to find pretty challenging. Also aware, however, that they do have things to teach us as well. The Magi traveled many miles to bring their gifts so expressive of their faith in Jesus as King, the gold, God, Jesus as God, frankincense, and Jesus as our sacrificial victim, the myrrh. You and I don't have to travel very far to bring our gifts expressive of our faith to Jesus, who comes to us today in those who most need our mercy, our compassion, and our welcome.